the oneness of Jesus' love. It was a prayer, the prayer of Jesus in John 17, that I proclaim today in the gospel reading. So we know that Jesus prays for unity. So often you and I think of the prayer of Jesus as what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. And of course, that's very legitimate to do and say, as we do almost every Sunday. But in John 17, the whole chapter is Jesus' prayer. This was a part of it today. And it's a prayer of unity and a prayer of love. So today, that's what we want to explore. And we want to use motherhood and Mother's Day as a way to explore it. This morning, I usually try to listen to a little bit of NPR, National Public Radio News, just to see if there's anything that I need to be aware of before we come to church, any world or national event. This morning they were interviewing an American citizen now who was from China, an immigrant from China, a mother. It was a fascinating story, but what really stuck out with me was she comes to America and she has a baby and has a daughter. And as the daughter is in school here and learning and, you know, doing much better in English than her mother could do, who came here not speaking English at all, then her daughter comes home from school when she was still very young and says to her mother, "I love you." And her mother was crushed with joy because the China that she knew was you were only allowed to say you loved China or you loved the ruler, whichever one name of the ruler was at that time in the communist dictator world. You weren't allowed to say, "I love my mother," or "I love my father." Imagine how radically different that thinking is from our way and the way of Jesus. So that's a good Mother's Day story, I think, to share. That unity bonds us together with love. In that dictatorship of the communist world at that time, unity came completely from a different perspective. But thank goodness ours is through Jesus and his unity with God and our unity with him. There are so many Mother's Day stories. And I thought about asking you all to share them. I know that everyone has one or two or three or four that stand out in you. I know that Rebecca and I could easily just share our own for an hour without any problem. So I'm not going to ask you to share yours because we would need a lot more time. But it would be a good thing to do. But I remember it was a grandmother story in my life. I was away at college at Bethany and was coming home. And when I got home, it was great. And I was told that my grandmother was coming over, my mother was cooking the meal, and grandma was bringing the dessert. Well, grandma's desserts were extraordinary. She had started a catering company with my grandfather, and she would walk from 11th Avenue over to the Timken roller bearing plant every day up on the near north side. And when people or workers would come out on a break or come out to lunch, she would sell them food, and she would have little, what she called nickel pies, little one service pies. And she became famous for her pies, and I've heard there's some people in this congregation are well known for your pies. But Grandma went from nickel pies to the big pies. And when they opened a restaurant, the Round Circle restaurant near the railroad station, she was famous for her pies. So on this day, she comes, and I run out to her car, and I say hello and help her get out of the car. Grandma always walked real slow. She had bad arthritis. But I looked inside the car, and I saw this pie. Oh, I could tell it was coconut cream. I said, "Grandma, let me carry the pie." She parked across the street, so I figured she would be so slow, I could get the pie up to the house in the kitchen and then come back down and help her. So I take off up the steps with the pie, start to open the front door, and the pie collapses right down to the floor of the front porch. And my mother says, "Oh dear, she'll never forgive you." And my entire life, Grandma always enjoyed sharing the story. When I was 6 years old, we're all driving up to Lake Erie for a special picnic, and when we all get there and we're ready to get out of the car, I'm standing in the middle of the cake Grandma had baked. So my mother always felt that Grandma never forgave me for that. And so here I come home from college, and I drop the pie, and my brother and I get Grandma in the house, and we get forks and sit on the front porch floor and eat the pie. I think Rebecca can verify all this. But lo and behold, Grandma actually did this, actually said this, even though my mother did not believe she could. She said, "I forgive you." She was so supportive of me going to college and going into the ministry. She did a motherhood thing and forgave me. And the pie still tasted wonderful. You see, our motherhood, stories of our mothers and our grandmothers are so important. They reveal so much about us and about love and how we are unified. I mean, I have such unity with my mother and my grandmother. I'm sure you could share similar things. But it reminds me so much of Jesus' love and the hope, and how we are called to be one. One in the church, and one is Jesus Christ. So today I want to take a moment to reflect. And Jim could put the photos up. And we'll take the first page. I forgot my laser light. There we go. But you can see wonderful pictures of mom or the mothers, and then we have integrated it with unity. So which one stands out to us? Go ahead, Jim, give us the next one. Ah, motherhood comes in so many different ways, by the way. And so does unity. Some unity is not just Christian unity, but unity with other faiths around the world. And now, right here in our own community. And unity isn't all about human beings. It's about other creatures of this earth and planet. So we share in our unity. Go ahead, Jim, give us another one, please. And unity is so beautiful, as motherhood is so beautiful. And it's so similar for in a church, a group to be in unity. It's almost as if, oh, that little foot reminds me, you know the one, if this little piggy went to market and if this little piggy stayed home. That's a unity expression in our lives. So today we want to see how we need to draw closer, just as a mother and child draw closer. Next slide, please. And there's the symbols that are so common about unity in the world. Hands gathered together. And women studying the Bible of Christ together in photos, and then a mother and her daughters. Unity. Next slide, please. It comes in so many ways. Which one is more difficult and more challenging? The one up on the left-hand corner? Or the one down in the right, bottom right? Are they more challenging than those other beautiful expressions? The answer is they have become that in our lives. Next slide, please. But we need to learn from that love and that power and that strength of motherhood. For even when we proclaim the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, sometimes we proclaim it, but it doesn't always unite us. Next slide, please. Unity comes in so many ways. And our heart is there. And it came in a nine of hearts all the same today. I couldn't find the Queen of Hearts to do that same thing. But I hope you're seeing how we are bonded together. And how the Christian faith promotes that and makes it happen. Next slide, please. So we conclude the slides with unity as love and Jesus, of course, promoting unity. Just think of it in that story that you heard Tammy read about Paul. And the young lady, it's just fascinating to me that that starts with a young lady who's pestering Paul and he gets angry and frustrated. But in the end, that whole thing winds up being such a great salvation in the scriptures that we go from a young lady pestering Paul and Silas as they go around proclaiming the message of Jesus and Paul getting upset. It goes from that to Paul winding up in prison and then the miracles of prison happening when the gates and the chains are falling off. But Paul uses that to teach God's grace and God's love, which is a unifying factor between faith and that guard's family. Unity. My mother's day, or my mother, was not like my grandmother in the sense that grandma could, you know, she was the Martha. My mother was the Mary, if you choose Mary and Martha. Even though my mother only had an eighth grade education, when she died several years ago, we were reintroduced to a newspaper article that we had all forgotten, that when my mother gave birth to the second child, I had two older sisters, on the front page with a big giant photo of the Citizen Journal in Columbus, there was an article about this young woman giving birth to the second youngest child ever to be born in a hospital in Columbus, youngest mother. Second youngest mother, because the year before, my mother had given birth to my other sister, and that's when she was the first youngest mother. So we were reflecting on my mother. She was married so young and had family so young, but she never gave up searching and digging into faith and sharing it with whoever. And I believe it was so strongly that motherly touch why her children, most of us, became pastors and social workers and teachers, helping profession kind of people. So for my mother, on the one hand, an eighth grade education. On the other hand, she introduced me to the book The Prophet by Cahil Gibran. She introduced me to so many pieces like that, to different preachers and different teachers of theology, because she cared so much and had so much conversation with us, with all of us, and so many of my cousins and my sweetheart at the time. But I'm not going to share from the book The Prophet today, but here's what Cahil Gibran, I don't know if you are familiar with him, but he's one of the greatest writers in the world. But here's what he says about the mother. The mother is everything. She is our consolation in sorrow, our hope in misery, and our strength in weakness. She is the source of love, mercy, sympathy, and forgiveness. He who loses his mother loses a pure soul who blesses and guards him constantly. Everything in nature bespeaks the mother. The sun is the mother of the earth and gives it its nourishment of heat. It never leaves the universe at night until it has put the earth to sleep to the song of the sea and the hymn of the birds and the brooks. And this earth is the mother of the trees and the flowers. It produces them, nurses them, and weans them. The trees and the flowers become kind mothers of their great fruits and seeds. And the mother, the prototype of all existence, is the eternal spirit, full of beauty and love. When Jesus prays to God that we're all one, that we are unified in Christ, if we could think of how the perfect motherhood would be that example for us to live, to love. Just think of that Chinese mother who grew up in China where love was not part of everyday life. At least it wasn't expressed, even though I'm sure it was there. In the church, what keeps us from always loving? The book that we're going to study, the search committee called Moving Off the Map by Thomas Bandy. He says we have hidden corporate addictions that keep us away from that pure, strong love that we all desire and want. But the old ways dominate so much And that when we say, how many United Church of Christ does it take to change a light bulb? I think we've shared this before. We say, change? So today, we desire to be part of the unity of Jesus Christ and find the bond of peace and love from looking at our motherhood stories, even sometimes the challenging parts of those stories. In Jesus' name, amen.